Welcome into the Leaf Edition. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours. In about 35 minutes, we'll welcome in Joshua Cloak, Leaf writer for The Athletic. And then at the top of the hour, Andy Strickland, host of 590 The Fan in St. Louis.
What happened there?
They have a 590 The Fan in St. Louis.
Come on,
is that real?
Did they rip us off?
What do you think? I was just making a joke?
Well, sometimes there's errors on the line, if that's all.
Is that a copyright infringement? Should I run upstairs?
I don't know. Okay, guys.
We'll ask Andy.
Okay.
He, of course, will give us all the latest on the recent hiring of Jim Montgomery. The body wasn't even cold in Boston.
No. He just
rolled. And now, leading the St. Louis Blues. In the meantime, we are live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. The Toronto Maple Leafs keep it rolling.
Win again.
They play like once a month, but it's okay.
They're on the football schedule.
They get lots of practice.
Mm-hmm.
They're feeling good.
Yeah.
They get by the Utah Hockey Club on a rare Sunday. Which felt really weird to me.
Weird weekend for hockey, wasn't
really
it?
Really weird weekend. Yeah. But nonetheless, a 3-2 win and another 2 points, JB.
Yeah. I mean, hey, not going to take anything away from them. What a schedule. They play twice a week for two consecutive weeks, and then they're going to play 15 times in 31 days. So almost a game every other day. In December, every single weekend, they will play a back-to-back. So insane schedule coming up. But right now, that's a little strange. Took advantage of it yesterday. You know, what's so funny, Kip, is what storyline was developed for you? Because it's like, goalie's still good.
Yeah.
Defense still good. Marner, Nylander, still good. Anything new, boys?
No, and I think it's just a build-up going into this week against two rivals. The Battle of the Atlantic division will come into this weekend, and it was one of those games last night. Well, first and foremost, I mentioned a rare Sunday, which just felt like a sleepy night. And I don't know how the energy was at Scotiabank Arena last night, but I think everybody had that kind of that sleepy kind of Sunday night feel, including the Leafs to start the game.
Yeah.
Kind of ended the same way. They had a good second period. Big picture is they got through it. Mm-hmm. When you got game breakers like Nylander and Marner, that's the difference last night.
Yeah.
But one of those games where it's like, just get the 2 points and move on.
Funny, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Utah couldn't get to the rink on time. Like, I assume Taylor Swift had a concert Saturday night.
No, it was Sunday.
It was Sunday. Okay.
It was the Santa Claus parade this time.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
So, yeah, 5:15.
It's always something.
You always have a power play meeting at 5:15 or whatever, and they were walking to the rink because the bus wasn't moving at 5:15. So
people are laughing about that. That's one of the most embarrassing things in the world.
So that was kind of where I was going to go with it.
Are you kidding?
I was like, if you're the hockey ops guy for Utah, like, you don't want us talking about this. Like, you didn't build Toronto traffic into the plan?
Oh, that's your perspective.
Like,
interesting.
Yeah, what
interesting.
A failing.
I love that take. I was going the other way, being like, the city's an absolute joke.
Oh,
that's
sure.
A total embarrassment.
Left at noon,
it
and in
matter.
This city, you could still be late.
Then
okay,
leave
that's
at noon.
How bad it
then
is.
Then leave at noon. That's humiliating to me.
Ford's on it. He's on it. The bike lanes will be gone by Wednesday or Thursday, I'm told. So everything will be back to normal.
That'll fix it.
Yeah.
Sure. That'll fix
it. Drive down the bike lane.
That'll do it.
Whatever the case with the city is, I just think that's embarrassing that they weren't there. So that was the Leafs' 10th home win this season. They're the first team in the NHL with 10 home wins. No team in the Atlantic Division has more than 6. So they weren't a very good team on home ice last year compared to the other very good teams.
Yeah.
That was one of the priorities, to be a tougher team at home.
I thought they actually like showed flashes of this young team and some of their bright spots. Cooley.
I like Cooley.
Clayton Keller. Like, you could see that there's some upside. They're just not ready, and they're not there yet. But there was times when they were just early, they looked a lot quicker than the Leafs.
Sure. But they remind me of a lot of teams. Like, every team has a few good players.
No, there's 15 of those that 18, 20. Keep going up. I could be sold on 22, 24.
They got four good players who might get better. I just thought, so yes, they are fast. I did see what you're seeing.
Yeah.
But there was a long stretch of that game, obviously the second period, where it was just like odd man rush Leafs, man rush Leafs. And it was like, God, are they playing with any structure? What's happening over there?
And they took some dumb penalties, too. They're just like, come on.
You like that McBain, though, don't you? Big guy hits.
Oh, yeah. He could play on my team any day.
Yeah.
I think in years past, one of the things we've complained about is the Leafs playing down to opponents and there are these trap games. And every team has them, but we talk about the Leafs, so we focus in on that. And they tried to trap that game. They tried their damnedest to make that a trap game. But I thought they did. Like, they did what they needed to do, where they have a horrible first. They play unbelievable hockey the second, like you said, power plays. And then they survive again in the third. Like, you know, they score one to make it 3-2. And then they're buzzing around for the last minute of that. That Wall has to make an outstanding stretch save. I don't know who it was that he robbed with
that
the leg.
Toe reach back was pretty sick.
They needed some of that, too.
But they
survived the trap game before two really big ones this week, Wednesday against Florida, Saturday against Tampa. So full marks to surviving the trap game, which I thought was going to get them.
Okay, let's get to our first Kippers Clipper of the week, Craig Berube, on what he saw on this Sunday night.
We were flat in the first, I thought, and just, you know, you can tell off faceoffs and guys aren't jumping and they're not getting a pick and just things like little things like that. We didn't play north right away in the first. We were kind of like trying to go back and regroup too much. And, I think we just talked about it between periods and they did a real good job of adjusting and played a great second and drew some penalties. Power play was excellent, gave us a lot of momentum, and kind of changed the game.
Power play was excellent.
You take any goalie in the past outside of Joseph Woll and Stolarz now, and you put Sheldon Keefe behind that bench, they lose last night.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
What do you got?
I've nothing. I'm just telling you, they would have found a way to lose that game last night.
Yeah. The part that I, you know, Berube almost implies that, right? He's like, you know, we wanted to regroup too much. And it's like that's the Keefe reference in there, right?
But it's all the underlying numbers now, right? Where this time last year, they might have had one of the worst save percentages 5-on-5.
Mm-hmm.
1 year later, it's like one of the best.
Yeah. And you think that's related to how they're playing?
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can point to goaltending. We can point to a deeper blue line. We could more structure. They don't give up the middle of the ice like they did in years past.
Mm-hmm.
You got to work your ass off to score a goal against the Leafs now.
Yeah.
They block shots and they take the middle of the ice. And when they do get pucks through, they're not. How many bad goals have we seen this year?
I got to tell you, the power play.
Honest to God, can you name one?
No. And how many times this time last year did we go, oh, what's Samsonov doing there?
That's actually a funny thing to say. Can you name a bad goal he's given up?
I'm trying to think of. I've watched a lot of hockey. I'm trying to think.
That's why I'm telling you.
A couple of goals in the Blues game, I didn't like the wallet and a couple sifters from the point. Okay. That's the last.
We're 20 games in.
I know.
You can name me one or two.
That's it.
Right. Wild. That's wild.
It's like, that's the difference.
Yeah.
That's why they won last night, not bringing their best.
Yeah, the fundamental thing that's different for this team is, you know, everyone's talking about, oh, look at all these guys the Leafs had out. They're without this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. The thing that stayed the same through all this is 6D. Actually, 7 that have been the same 7.
Okay. This is something that I've been thinking about, and I don't know if I've brought it up to you guys before. Let me ask you this. Like, the way they're playing now and all their advanced defensive stats and all of like what they look like and how they're playing. And, you know, you bring in the veteran general manager, you bring in the veteran gruff head coach. Did this organization wait 3 years too long to do this?
Yeah.
Like, is there part of me watching the way they're playing right now? I'm like, oh my God, they wasted 3 years of three of the best Leafs of all time's primes by trying new things and trying different guys and like betting on a rookie head coach in Sheldon Keefe, which he was at the time, betting on Kyle Dubas as a rookie general manager, one of the most important times. Like, am I going too far here?
No, you're too early on that. You're just too early for me.
Okay. The one reason, you know, the big difference to me, what looks all different, and I was kind of getting towards this point, is Tanev and Ekman-Larsson and even Hakanpaa have changed how this D looks so drastically to me.
Yeah.
That's what's so different. Go ahead.
Yeah, two guys.
Two guys. Hakanpaa was a bit of a reach for you there.
Yeah.
But that McCabe-Tanev pair, if you do like a lot of fancy sorting money podcasts, a couple things, whereas a pair, they're the best expected goals against pair in the NHL amongst pairs that have played like 200 minutes. They're the top five in expected, you know, so they've been elite, and that changes things for a team.
I know what you're saying, Sammy, for sure. And we've had conversations on Dubas and Sheldon Keefe up until the beginning of the tree living era going, like, if I would have picked a team that would look like Brendan Shanahan's kind of team, knowing what he's gone through in his career,
this is it.
And what we saw in the past wasn't it. Mm-hmm. So we always had the head scratching of why is Brendan Shanahan trying to create this puck possession kind of east-west thing?
And he bought into the new.
He got talked into it.
For sure. He bought into the, it's going to be different, new age. Yeah. We're going to be ahead of the curve. We're going to be smarter than everyone.
And who's the salesman on that one?
That'd be Dubas, yeah.
Yeah.
So the one thing I will say that runs contrary to this is, you know, we're talking about the D and being rock solid and that being a fundamental difference. It wasn't like Dubas didn't know that. You know, like he went out and he got Jake Muzzin. He went out and he got Ilya Lyubushkin. He went out and he got Joel Edmondson. You know, they went out and got a bunch of guys to try to be this.
He was Lyubushkin. Edmondson was Treliving.
It was Edmondson last year.
Then Lyubushkin was the year before with Dubas. So they did it twice with Lyubushkin.
Yeah. But it was not proactive. It was reactive.
Absolutely.
It was after watching time and time again somebody getting to the net then it was just like,
in fairness, he didn't have all this.
You
got to
go
on,
get
like,
somebody. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
Like, it was always not enough and catch up.
Yep. That's a fair point, though. Like,
everything's great.
Where, you know, Kyle tried a lot of different things here, and clearly none of it worked very well.
Nice to come in and go, we know that doesn't work.
And then having that ability to be like kind of work off of that. But what I'm getting at here is, in 2 years of being here and 1 year of it being such a quick turnaround and him coming in here, he's given them the best 1B situation in net. He's given them the best D core they've ever had. And the forward core is incomplete. It's been all injuries or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, looking at, and I don't even think Brad Treliving's that great. Like, I think he's just like a kind of a league average executive, and that's all it's taken.
Listen, you wouldn't have known for sure that Stolarz was going to come in and look like a MVP of the league the first 20 games.
But I think it does help the situation you're talking about, the situation they're putting him in with their great defensive play. It's crazy. Yeah. So, two, I got a fun stat for you. Who do you think is last on the Leafs in hits amongst players who've played 5-10 games, like just a regular player?
Last on the Leafs in hits.
I mean, it's a weird one. It's off. It's.
I want to say. I want to say. You're going to give me like a Holmberg or a Lorenz. I don't know.
Chris Tanev.
Okay. All right. D.
Chris Tanev. Last on the Leafs in hits. But Sammy had this point. I brought this up to Sammy before the show where he said he's never chasing the play. He's always stick checks, body position between the player
shot
and the
blocker.
Net. Shot blocking. He's in the lanes.
Yeah.
He defends so well without running after guys.
Yeah.
That's not, even though he's physically strong, that's not really his nature. He is tied for second most hits taken. He goes back on pucks first. He gets hit a lot.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah.
He's been hit 41 times.
You don't see him proactive
running
taking the man out.
Yeah.
And he is, it's just incredible in terms of how many pucks
they hit him all
get,
the time.
Get a chance to get to the goalie.
I know. It's crazy. And so one more positive on the decor. They, since Matthews has been out, and this is the team in general, at 5-on-5, they've allowed nine goals against, which is the fewest in the NHL.
No, eight in the NHL. Eight, sorry.
So 8 games, 8 goals against at 5-on-5 since Matthews has been out, which is the best in the NHL.
You know what the other side of that is?
We will, yeah, go ahead.
The other side of this is they've scored 9 5-on-5, which is also the fewest goals scored in the NHL.
Nothing is happening either way. No goals.
To
fewest
me,
and fewest.
To me, having like the, you know, the fewest goals allowed is clearly incredible. And then when you take out maybe the best 5-on-5 goal scorer in the league from your team, that accounts for a lot of goals.
Sure does.
Like, that's a big, big part of what the number is. And, you know, they score a lot on the power play now. They score when they need to. Half their line was missing.
Yeah.
Of course they're not scoring a lot of 5-on-5 goals.
Absolutely.
Like, they're missing all their forwards.
The guys they're plugging in, they're saying, just play defense. Fraser Minton, take care of
and
your
Nick Robertson
end.
Can't shoot it in a wide-open net.
Oh, my God. Poor Nick Robertson.
Holy crap.
All right, you guys want to say anything about Mitch Marner? Because I do, I'll just be driving the price up. And we don't want to do that. So I'm just going to be quiet, and then I'll let you guys. Or do you want to just pass on Mitch Marner?
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
I want to say that every game that goes past where I watch him play, and he's been brilliant in years past.
Yeah, wait for the playoffs.
No, it's not even what I'm getting at, Kevin. No, I've said to you multiple times this year that they should just sign him. Like, I've said it. I've said it to you in years past. I've changed a little bit during playoffs a couple times. But every time they play him now, and he's been brilliant without Matthews. Like, he is elevated like Malkin used to do when Sid was out, when Draisaitl does, when McDavid, he's elevated. Mm-hmm. Every game that goes by without him signed, I get progressively more worried that he's going to leave and what the Leafs are going to look like. Like, I really, like, you know, it's mid-November here. This is, the Leafs always light it up in November. This is, like, the number
actually,
one time.
I would like to know their November record.
One of my buddies
5 years
texted me a couple of days. It was, like, 36-8-5 or something, earlier this. Like, they just light it up.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're getting, you know, it's almost December, and he's this homegrown superstar, clearly flawed. There's all this stuff with the market, but it's every game I'm like, oh, God, hey, no contract yet. He actually might be playing with Bedard next year. Like, I'm coming to grips with it.
Yeah. And did you want to add something?
No, I got nothing. I mean, you guys know my stance.
No, but like, I think we fans, and myself included, are very hard on this guy. I've always been hard on this guy. Like, it started with me. I've never liked London Knights, the whole deal from the start. Not a fan. But you are going to be a worse hockey team if he does not sign long term.
Yes.
There is no question. And sure, he's had his moments in the playoffs where it's not gone great. I know. I've talked about them. But the reality is there. And, you can go out in free agency and try to sign these guys. Ask the Bruins how that worked out.
Ask
how their cap space figured out when you sign Lindholm and Zadorov. And it's like, oh, you're below 500.
What I hope doesn't get lost from our conversation on Monday was the way that I started that conversation, which was the Leafs have messed this up. And that's a point that I maintain to this day. As he's a player you need to keep. There aren't that many of these guys. And the fact that it's at this point and now they're watching the cap go up and they're watching him have success and you know, have the leverage at this point to say he's going to walk away kills them. And so they need to sign him. You're just not going to get better when he's gone. And so they've messed it up to this point, but they may have to eat it a little bit and say it's going to cost a bit more than it should have.
What's a bit? We're not doing this again.
Mitch Marner literally has the Leafs over a barrel.
So are you...
Mitch Marner has the Leafs over a barrel.
Are you okay with now it not being a little bit more, but it being a lot more and still signing him?
It's one of those things where it's like, I also believe that you can't have guys in the room who aren't putting the team first or are difficult or are repeatedly the person. Like, this guy has constantly been a challenge for the Leafs and for the fan base. So there's definitely a limit for me where I'm not just like, now he's played good in November. You know, we've seen that before.
How about you?
Open the checkbook.
I think I'm kind of like, are you going to lose Mitch Marner over 500K per year? Like, are you thinking about that 500K or extra $1 million? Or are you thinking about that when he's scoring 100 points?
Say the 500K takes him past Matthews. You okay with that?
Listen, at this point,
With that?
No, absolutely not.
Probably not, no. But if it's going to, either it's that or losing him, then I'd probably do it.
Then you're okay with it.
I'm not okay with it, no. But I accept it.
Oh, my God.
I accept it. I do lots of things I'm not okay
saying,
with.
Don't lose him
it.
Overpaying him $500 above it. It's going to piss you off, you're going to do it.
I'm not going to, if I'm Brad Treliving, I got my nose plugged while I'm signing it. I know what the reaction of this is going to be. But you're really going to lose a homegrown.
See, that's not how you felt last week.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
Listen, do I think he's?
I gave you the number 13-14. You shooed me away. Now a week later, you're telling me do it, but plug your nose.
Here's what I said. I still think Matthews is better, but with the way the cap's going up and all that stuff, I hate the number.
There's no better or worse. It's just the eye of the beholder on better or for worse. Yeah. It's what you need to do in a marketplace.
I know.
That's it.
And listen,
that was all my conversation. It's like, it's better, worse. Who cares what your opinion is, better, worse? It's like, what's it going to take? What's it going to take?
And my stance on it is that if it's either he signs for a penny more than Matthews and, he stays or he leaves, I'm going to have to plug my nose. But I'm telling you right now,
okay,
the perception of that in this market, maybe he doesn't even want that.
Can we put to bed this whole crap of I got to see what he does in the playoffs first? Can we put that to bed?
Why? Why would you do that? What are you talking about right now? God, are we really doing this again?
No, it's not.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying, do you want to sign him or you don't want to sign him?
That's the point he's making, Bourne. He's gone.
There's no waiting for the playoffs. That's not the way it works. We're going to treat you like crap until you prove me otherwise in the playoffs, and then we're going to welcome you with open arms. It doesn't work that way.
Because... Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, the way it's going to go after the playoffs, either he rips it up where they finally, Berube's got the magic potion and they actually get passed. And everyone's like, oh, great. and then it's like, he's cost $15 million now. Or they stink again and no one wants him. So there's just...
I don't get why it's so complicated here. Like if he's... So they have their internal cap with Matthews, which we discussed on Monday. And to me, that is a hard line for them. And if he wanted more than that, then he can go. And if there's numbers underneath that he's cool with, let's do it.
Yeah.
If not, then it's like there's so much more politicking and grinding and feelings involved. Just like it's like being in a relationship with someone who's too challenging. It's like, I just would rather not do that.
But it's not like politicking is one thing and just business is the other. And it's supply and demand. It's how badly you want something, how much you're willing to pay for it. Where's the politicking in all of this?
Well, it's whatever they do to get the media to...
Oh, my God. There's no media. There's nothing.
We're the media. Yes, we are.
Hey, I got news for you guys. Nobody gives a crap what we say. Nobody. They don't care about social media. They don't care about us. We cannot influence. Nothing. It's... What is it worth to you?
Mm.
What is it worth to Brendan Shanahan? What is it to Keith Pelley, MLSC? What is he worth to you? Mm. Not us, not social media.
Mm.
The politicking that you guys think about, doesn't work.
See, this is ridiculous because we talk about this stuff on the show all the time. And it's concerned, and all we get back from you is, oh, this market is so hard on him. The social media is so hard on him. This market's so hard on him.
It has nothing to do with price. Has nothing to do with business.
Well,
it's emotional. No, it's emotional. That's an emotional element to what can factor in his decision making. But it's not business. Mm-hmm. It's not business.
Yeah.
So then what are you saying? Right now you are saying...
I'm saying I think they may have to just open up the checkbook and just say, to my point, I told you guys last week, number one priority, do whatever it takes to sign a guy. Number two is try to get the best price. Number three, don't let one affect the other.
And I hate to say that I agree, but I do agree. I hate it. I hate it.
I would love to go back to the end of playoffs and listen to what you said about him then.
Then the other stuff could factor in. Mitch could sit there and go, you know what, I made $70 million already.
Yeah.
It's not about that. I'm just tired of being watched and blamed. All that stuff can factor in.
What about this? Is there any chance that this market is so hard on him that they could trade him? That they could actually get someone who they think suits them better for playoffs, that they could have assets? Well, sure. On the way here, is this a guy? Because coming into this year, some of the talk was, could we, is this a guy who it's going to be so miserable on? You talked about it with Tavares. That you just say, it sucks for you here. Fans aren't happy.
They can't do that because he is the engine right now.
Do you think...
Right? He's the engine.
Do you think he wants to stay here?
I have no idea.
No feeling. No sense.
I know he speaks the truth when he says, this is my hometown and I love it here, but I don't know in terms of what he's gone through emotionally,
yeah,
physically, mentally, mm-hmm, spiritually. I have no idea how it's affected him.
Yeah.
It's been hard on him.
I think it's probably been pretty hard on all of them, but.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know.
But did we just do
that
again? No,
that was better.
I did my very best not to say anything.
That was progress. I thought we still were a little disagreement, but we were a little bit more, like,
I mean,
you're right, though. About
here's what I think happens. Here's my honest opinion.
I was
going to
say, like maybe Dr. Dana helped us last week.
That's right. Here's what I think happens. I think that sometime in the next month or so, I think he signs 8 times, like it's probably 12, 7, 5, or 13. That's what I think happens. I think we get a report, it's just done. And we move on, and everyone is rooting for the Leafs and Marner, and off you go.
Is that off of a 8-game winning streak?
What does that mean?
It means, like, if you're having a bad month, people are going to...
But do you think that...
You know what I'm saying?
But here's the question.
Sure, yeah.
And then how much can the price go up or down? Because everybody knows who he is. Everybody knows how good he is. Everybody knows how great he is in the regular season.
Well,
how much can the price go up or down?
My point being, like, the range is not that big here.
No.
Of what he's going to earn. So, I don't know.
Just let him earn it. So we don't have to talk about it anymore.
Well, up until now.
So we did this with Nylander, by the way, right? We did a lot of this with Nylander when he went through it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, we did a lot of it.
And it's not going away. And it will be a distraction until you wake up or we wake up one day and say, it's done.
And I honestly think that would be the best thing for the Marners and the Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
If it's just like, it doesn't have to be miserable for people, you know?
So 13 times 8, you're good now, right?
Like, you clearly picked the high end of that. And I'm biting my tongue hard.
No, it's okay.
13 times 8, here's me.
It's okay.
Well, I'm plugging the nose, baby.
You guys are doing it now.
I'm plugging the nose.
all right, let's get Craig Berube on Marner. Clip 4, Derek.
Like everyone, our listeners, they checked out.
Well, I think it's business as usual. I think, you know, even, you know, early on in the year, you know, he was playing really good hockey for us in all situations, not just scoring and everything. I find he's shooting a little bit more, which is great. I think he can still shoot more. But, you know, he's doing a real good job for us.
It's funny that he shot into the left side of the net. But he actually was high glove this time.
Yeah.
He just only ever goes low blocker on his shots, and he shot.
Raised it a bit for a switched goalie.
Yeah, it was weird, but anyways.
It does sound like Matthews wants to play Wednesday night, and there's just not a chance that you could start him with Mitch Marner together Wednesday night.
No.
I don't. Not for me.
Mm.
Not for me, I think.
It's crazy how good Tavares looks. Like, there was a play last night where Utah players bringing the puck behind the net in the Leafs end. He zips down low, cuts him off, runs him into the boards. They break the puck out. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Glorious amulet.
He can't take anything away. He's pushing hard.
He's wearing 6 amulets. He is.
It's a contract.
Think he wants one soon too? Glorious.
It's just natural. These guys, they know.
I mean, this could be the ideal scenario for the Leafs.
It could be.
Where he's lighting it up in a contract here. Yep. And then go get him some help,
though, at the center ice position, because they're going to need a third. They're going to need a 1-2-3.
I can't watch another game of Pontus at center. I know we've been high on the stuff he does.
No. They're going to have to go. They're going to have to go get somebody. And then if it gets a little heavy, then you can have someone push off a little bit for John. Because John, listen, say what you will about John, and I'm the first guy to say, you know, sometimes the skating's not there or he doesn't pass the puck as well as I'd like. But that guy has got a real heavy stick, man. Like, he's got one of the strongest sticks you'll ever see. And
wins puck battles.
He can still find a way to produce. And if you can find a third centerman between the three of them, I think it may be enough to push hard in the playoffs.
Pretty good pass to Marner on the breakaway, too.
Yeah.
How many times have we seen Marner in the last 8 years, like, sniffing up there?
Not very often. Not very often. No.
Not very often.
It was good recognition. He saw that Tavares had won the, got the puck below the goal line, and off he went. Great pass. I was thinking about this. This is so stupid. We got to go. But why was two-line pass ever a rule?
Really was a buzzkill.
The most absurd rule
guys on a breakaway
out of
their seat.
There's some nights I wish it was back.
What okay? are you talking about?
I'm just saying. Because sometimes it's like chip and chase well, the Leafs and ping pong.
Did that long in, stretch chip dump in, which I hated.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It can get a little when the D aren't sleeping, like Utah last night.
Yeah, they weren't great.
It can get a little ping pong-ish.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Joshua Cloak from The Athletic, Leaf writer, will join us. We'll get into a ton more, including Alex and Willie.
We didn't even mention
the Willie brothers.
We didn't mention anything.
Yeah, we
did. Is that you guys really want to go heavy on that one?
The Nylander thing?
Yeah.
Heavy is probably not the right word.
I thought it was super sweet.
It's the first super brother since sweet. In what, like 40 years or something?
I don't care.
All right, we'll get into it after the break. Super sweet conversation coming up after the break.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, and let's welcome in Joshua Cloak, Leaf writer for The Athletic, regular on our show. For those of you that cannot see him on Zoom, nice jersey.
Thank you. When did I get regular status? How does one get regular status? I've been pining for that. It's great.
It's like the Olympics. Once every 4 years, if you make it on our show, you're a regular.
Okay, so that's a pretty low bar. I don't feel that good about it now.
You know who's got a high bar is the Leafs these days. So if we look at the half a dozen regulars out, including their superstar Austin Matthews, and they've got the record that they have, yeah. And I ask you, what's the main reason why? Your first thought goes to where?
Yeah, probably Mitch Marner and William Nylander. That's the obvious one. Like, we can talk about them, you know, buying in and checking more and being really, you know, having really locked things down defensively. And that's important. The goaltending is important, too. But as simple as it sounds, you win games by scoring more than the other team. And they wouldn't be doing that without Mitch Marner and William Nylander. And I know the Mitch Marner, you know, topic of conversation is a constant one around these parts, but like, boy, he's really set himself up. And like, you push it forward too. Does the success that they've had without Austin and the fact that, you know, William and Mitch are really carrying things right now, does that not make you want to explore balancing those guys on three different lines when Austin comes back? That's where my mind goes. I don't know where you guys are at, because when he does come back, things are going to look a little bit different. I don't know if you should be breaking up Mitch and John Tavares right now, just the way that they're playing. That you know, the idea of putting those three guys on three different lines, that's my kind of big takeaway. I don't know where you guys are at.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, any line that Willie's on, he can kind of make an effective line, right? Doesn't seem to matter. But you did mention the goaltending. One thing fascinating, I think over the eight games since Matthew's been out, the Leafs goaltending is a .942 save percentage. Next best in the league over that time is .928. They're .929. They're running away with it. So does the way that Joseph Woll has looked change things at all? It felt like we were just going to settle into Stolarz as the guy and Woll's his backup. Are we sure about that?
We're not sure about that. And, you know, I'm a regular. You guys know. I'm a Joe Woll guy, and I always have been. Like, this is a guy with incredibly high-end talent. You talk to goalie people around the league, they all say the same thing. If he can figure it out and stay healthy, he's a top 10 goalie in the league. And you just see the Leafs in front of him looking a lot more relaxed. I know that there's times, especially last season, there were constant questions about whether or not he can stay healthy. But he just has that game-breaking ability. And I just think that he's your guy long term, right? Like if he falters, sure. But even if there's questions about who's the number one right now, there's no question about who's the number one long term. And I think it probably took Joe Wall some time to kind of remember that to start the season. And now that he's in that frame of mind, like, he looks like a top 10 goalie in the league. So, yeah, like, we'd be remiss not to kind of give a lot of credit to the goaltending. The Leafs now have organizational goaltending depth. Like, I don't remember the last time they had depth like this. Do you guys? It gives Leafs fans the ability to breathe a sigh of relief, because you always knew it, you know, over the last few years, you'd go, yeah, but can Freddie do it in the playoffs? Yeah, but Jack Campbell seems like one bad game away from, you know, disappearing. And Ilya Samsonov, he was very open about his struggles. There just seems to be a calm about the Maple Leafs goaltending. Mm-hmm. And again, like, you guys know, like, when was the last time we were able to say that?
Cloak, you follow the Marlies as well. Is it Akhtyamov and Hildeby? They're both having, like, high-end seasons, right? I'm thinking of potential trade chips here as we move towards the deadline. We have four goalies and you have no assets.
Why does everyone go to trade chip for Hildeby and Akhtyamov? Congrats, pronunciation flawless, by the way.
Awesome.
But why does everyone say that when for me, the guy that you might want to move is Matt Murray, right? Because he's a little bit more proven, and he's a guy that, like, if you're a team that has goaltending questions and you're like, we lack that, you know, solid number two, because I truly believe Dennis Hildeby is the number three in the organization right now. I really do. Me and our boy Jonas Siegel had many heated debates about this, but I really believe he's the guy. He's another goalie of the future for them. So I don't know why you would be quick to flip these guys, because we've seen for generations, it's so hard for the Leafs to find goaltending. Why are we so eager to get rid of them?
Because there's other teams, Joshua, that understand that he is the number three and Matt Murray really isn't. And that's the appeal. That's the value. That's what's going to bring you value back, is giving up some value. And that would be my focus if I'm another team. It wouldn't be on Matt Murray, especially if I'm a team that isn't quite ready to contend just yet. That's the guy I circle.
I don't disagree. Can you get that really, really good number three center you want for two, like, one of two AHL goalies right now?
I just think it's going to be some high end. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can. So? Yep. Yeah. You can.
Well, I still don't think you do that, because, like, you have Stolarz for 2 years. You're still, again, I'm a Joe Wall guy, but you're still not going to know if he's going to be able to stay healthy for a while now. And, like, you're always going to need, you got to give these guys time to figure it out and figure out what they're going to be. Akhtyamov in particular, like, he's 7 games into his AHL career. He has 2 shutouts. He's got a glove hand that is NHL ready. And the Leafs have just done such a good job, and I hinted at this before, of finding goalies who are level. It was almost as if, you know, the Campbells and the Samsonovs, just that was a wake-up call throughout the organization. Find boring goalies. Find guys that, like, when the temperature gets cranked up, they're just going to stay even keel. And that's what you see with all of these guys. There's almost no personality to them. And I don't mean that in a bad way. There's no kind of room for them to fly off the handle. Like, Kipper, you're right. Like, I think when we get closer to writing these articles about who are the Leafs going to want to trade, they're not going to trade Cowan, they're not going to trade Mitten. Those guys, you know, are tough to find, too. The Hildebys and the Akhtyamovs will be towards the top, but, like, I just think for the sustainability of the organization, you can't move them. I know I'm probably in the minority there.
So we know that they are going to get healthier soon this week at some point. Whether or not it's Wednesday or Saturday, Nyes will be back. Matthews will be back. Domi will be back
maybe
at some point.
Yeah.
Who, once they start getting healthy, Joshua, who's on the outside looking in?
Well, probably much to the chagrin of Leafs Twitter, it's probably Gribyankin is going to be on the way out. Like, as great a story as he's been, like, You look at him and you're like, wow, this looks like a real exciting player in 2 years. This looks like a real exciting player if he can figure out how to play within a team structure. because you guys have watched him. You can't take your eyes off him because you don't know what he's going to do. He's so unpredictable on the ice. And that's just not a Craig Berube player right now. I wonder if Fraser Minton sticks. I really do, because if you're looking for like a bottom line center, don't you just want someone that is safe and you can trust? Like he's working on finding the offense, and that's the piece really missing. But the trust factor is there. They put him on PP1. Like there's something there. They like him. They like him a lot, because you put him out there and you don't, you're not worried that like the wheels are going to fall off. I'm inclined to think he sticks. Someone like Pontus Holmberg is still not there yet. So that's one I wonder about. But the organization really, really likes Fraser Minton. And frankly, I know it's a small sample size, but I think I can see why.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of threw him to the wolves. I mean, they started him in the D zone heavy. I think scoring chances were terrible, like 15-4 when he was on the ice. And not that he didn't look good. They just put him against good competition, starting in the D zone. They gave him a handful to deal with. Part of me wonders, like, for the good of the organization and the good of development, you want to get Minton right. Does Alex Steeves actually have the best chance of being a mainstay with this team all the way? He's running into bodies. He's older. He's lighting it up in the American League. Like, is he a guy you could put on a fourth line and actually get a bit of offense from while doing the right things?
Yeah, Alex Steeves looks a lot different than the Alex Steeves that came up over the last two seasons. And you were kind of like, okay, this is a Band-Aid for now. Like, I know for a fact Alex Steeves got very excited when Tree Living and Berube took over, because, like, he told me repeatedly in training camp, he's like, I think I got that dog in me and I want to let it out. He literally said that. I'm really frustrated. I didn't wedge it into a story somewhere. He's like, but I got that dog in me and I want to let it out. And so you can see him doing that. Like, you want players that adjust to what the coaches want. And you see that out of Alex Steeves. I think, you know, it's just he hasn't really popped offensively. Like, he's an energy guy, and that's great, and that works. But I just don't know if, like, I just don't know if the high-end tools are there. And, like, you can say the same about Fraser Minton offensively, I'm sure, but he is so good defensively. Like, just to bring it back to him, like, I was watching him in practice the other day and just, like, honing in on him. He does so many things that you don't see 8-year veterans in the NHL do defensively. Little things like, you know, coming in on the rush, he's tying up the defenseman's stick just like it's second nature, right? And these are things that take a long time for players to learn. And I just think, again, there's a trust level there with Alex Steeves. He's the type of player, again, a lot of energy, needs to get hot and needs to start scoring. But I guess if we're ranking, yeah, I'd go Minton, Steeves, and way down there, Grubjankin right now.
Josh, really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining the show, pal, as always.
I'm a regular. I have to.
You are a regular.
I don't have any choice.
Thanks, Doug. You want the same contract as Doug McLean?
Ask for a better one.
Okay, I'll take all of this into consideration. This is good. I'll let my agent know.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
Joshua Cloke, Leaf writer for The Athletic, and good guest to have for our show.
Just quickly, I saw Elliot Friedman send out a bit of a bombshell tweet. Was that this morning or last night, about Kreider and about Trouba, about how they're looking to shake things up in New York or whatever? Either of those guys make sense in Toronto? Would they trade him to a Eastern Conference rival? No. Mike? Is your mic on? No.
As I said, how does that happen? How do you have names that big get thrown into the mix? What's their team, 12-7 or something like that? And they're two giant names on the team?
Listen.
Trade bait?
Trying to throw a little grenade into that room?
I know that Kreider's considered, you know, a top guy right now in the league, but Max Pacioretty came in and did something that I didn't think he'd be able to do for the first 6 weeks. You got to get him back before you think about Kreider and upsetting. That's a major trade. That's a significant move.
Are you worried about stepping on Max Pacioretty's toes?
No, I'm sitting there going, you got a cheaper version of him right now.
Mm-hmm. What is Kreider's contract?
Six something, isn't it?
6'2".
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not going to be looking to eat.
They're
3-1.
Both like 6'3". They could hit, like, right now, Max Pacioretty is probably a better body checker than Kreider. I know Kreider's great, but like Nyes is Kreider now.
Nyes
for
is
me.
Kreider. Totally agree. Kreider,
so you don't need that.
Also, let me ask you if this description fits something Kip would like for this show. 9 goals, 0 assists.
Cy Young. Yeah, Cy Young candidate.
Okay, we just get your thoughts on the soon to be made for TV Willie and Alex Nylander game last night.
You know, nice story. Alex had a couple of good chances. I thought the one he threw up into the collarbone was a good shot.
You got some power play time?
Do you want to hear from them at all? I mean, do we?
I have a Nylander clip where he says something special.
These guys don't say anything at the best of times.
It's nice for TV, I guess.
All right.
Isn't it?
I think I don't have a brother, a sister. I don't know the brother dynamic.
It's nice. But it was a nice story.
For two guys to make it to the greatest league in the world and have them end up on the same sheet of ice playing for the same hockey team.
They're also besties. It's pretty amazing. They're long time, not just brothers. These two are legitimate. They call each other the best friends.
But it's going to be hurt a lot when three guys come back and Alex is on waivers. Probably not going to be great for the relationship. But at least they got to play together on the Leafs.
Yes. Feel good story, I guess, for the family.
It's great.
Right? I mean, Alex has struggled. He's on his fifth team.
The thing is, Alex is, what do you have, 15 goals in the NHL last year? 11 in 23 games last year, Alex had.
Kept him.
They didn't keep him.
And they're Columbus.
Ah, God, I can't. I can't tell you I didn't notice that. Yeah.
If they can't use you.
If they can't use a guy who scores 0.5 goals per game. Then again, this could be a fair criticism of Columbus.
Yeah.
But I will note, Columbus beat Boston, Tampa Bay, and Carolina this week.
Good.
Sammy, you mentioned it earlier in the show, but I mean, you do feel for Nick Robertson. Like, this guy's shooting everything that moves now, eh? It's he is trying so hard to get this monkey off his back.
I don't even disagree with the coach and the GM who are like, he's playing pretty well.
He draws penalties. I mean, he's always being cross-checked. And
I'd draw penalties in the NHL too because I'd get knocked over a lot.
Yeah, I felt bad for Lamoureux, was it, that got him on the first one? That was a stock cross-check in front of the net. Nothing there. The second one, he buried him. Yeah. But the first one, he just kind of fell over, and the ref keeps bailing him out. I think he leads the team in drawing penalties because he falls. I mean, if you fall over 7 times a game, hopefully you get a couple penalties.
You know who used to draw a ton of penalties because they didn't skate great? Remember Freddie Gauthier? He was 6'5", and the guys would knock him over because he didn't skate great. And arm would go up. He's 6'5".
It looks big. But they got to start going in for Nick.
Let's listen. Clip 6, Nick Robertson.
I thought Nicky had a good game, though. Worked extremely hard, was in the right spots defensively and did his job. Had some looks and it didn't go in. I mean, he's just got to stick with it. It's going to go in eventually for him. We all feel for him, and we want him to put the puck in the net. And he's just, it's not easy. It's not, I wouldn't know anything about it because I didn't worry about that. But, he's the type of player that wants to score goals, and that's part of his job. He did some real good things tonight, even though he didn't score.
Did he?
Sure.
There's
got
to be some team you can go to that.
I'm so excited.
Just
much like after Marner signs, I'm so happy to not have the conversation. And much like Nick Robertson going to play for Columbus, I can't wait, boys. God, I can't wait.
Might be somebody mid. Doesn't have to be the worst team in the league.
Team?
Okay, wherever.
Or mid-team.
Wherever it is, I just can't wait for it. Can't wait.
All right. Barely halfway through the show.
Matthew's going to play Wednesday?
I think he wants to.
I think no. Everyone says yes, but
I say no.
He's trying.
The incentive.
Tomorrow will be key.
You miss one game, you get another week off. Pretty tough.
Tomorrow's practice will be key, I think, for him. But I think he wants to, and it's a good game. It's an important game.
Sam Bennett's like, play.
Oh, they got seven guys, but they're better without him.
Our thanks to Joshua Cloak in this Leaf edition of our show. We go national next. Welcome in Andy Strickland. We'll talk Jim Montgomery, St. Louis Blues, and plenty more.